Wow. There we go. Eureka. Hey, guys, pat yourself on the back. You did a good job. I appreciate that, all right? Okay, back to where we were. I'm not going to be preaching with slides or anything like that, but I do trust God will use this message this morning to speak to your heart. Not because of the preacher, but because of his word, okay? Now, I'm going to look at this passage maybe just a little bit different than it's commonly done, but what I want us to do today is to focus on the potter, all right? Because I want to preach to you on the subject of it's all about the potter. It's all about the potter. Now, so you don't have any question as to who the potter is, back there in Jeremiah chapter 18, all right? God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house. He watched. Then in verse 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. We're not the house of Israel, but I believe we're in the house of God this morning. And I believe with all my heart, you and I are in the hand of God. And so you don't mistake who that potter is. That great potter is God himself, all right? So I want to preach to you, as I said, on the subject of it's all about the potter. It is all about the potter's house. Notice, first of all, it is the potter's house. It is the potter's house. Jeremiah was sent to the potter's house to hear the words of the Lord. God had a message that he wanted to emphasize to Jeremiah. And he said, I'm going to emphasize it and illustrate it in such a way that you will never forget the message that I'm giving to you. The potter's house. Hey, if it's the potter's house is where he does his work. That's where the potter does his work. Can he work outside the house? Yes, he can. Does he do some work outside the house? Yes, he does. But the main place he works in the potter's house. And like I say, he can work other places, but the main place where he works is in his house. I believe this with all my heart. His house is still open today, all right? His house is still open today. We're here in the house of God. We're here. This place, it belongs to him, all right? He still has a message for you and me today. He has a message you need to hear. You need to hear. There is a message for you. It's here that the words of God are to be emphasized. We don't come to the house of God for a song and dance. We don't come to the house of God this morning to be entertained. Now, I do not think there's a problem if we have a little entertainment. I think it's okay if you smile and you maybe even chuckle a little bit. That is all right, but that's not the main reason we're here. We're not here for entertainment, all right? We're here because we need to hear from God, all right? We're here not because you need a message from me, but you need a message from God. You need to hear from him, all right? And I'm convinced with all my heart that the main reason a lot of people are so reluctant today to come to the potter's house, to come to the house of God, is they don't want to be worked on. They don't want to hear the message. It's more difficult today than in my lifetime, it's more difficult today than it's ever been to get people to come to church. It's just a difficult thing. You go out, you witness to people, you talk to people, you have people bow and pray and ask the Lord to save them, can't get them to come to church. Cannot get them in the house of God. I talk to people that are Christians. I talk to people that said, hey, I'm saved. I've been saved for decades in some instances. And I was this or I was that, or Sunday school teacher. I used to be this, I used to be that. But I don't go to church anymore. So, all right, you don't go to the house of God anymore. Why not? Because you don't want to be worked on. Don't want to be worked on. Don't want that. Hey, we live in a day where people resist his work. Oh, we resist the work of God. God wants to work in us and work on us, and we fight him. We fight against it with everything we've got. We resist it. We're dealt with in the service, and the Holy Spirit speaks to hearts, and the invitation comes, but we won't come to the front. In some instances, I've been in the house of God where God's working on people and they got mad. I mean, you could tell they were getting upset. Their face was turning red, and man, their arms were folded across their chest, and you could tell they're hot about it, all right? And they were upset with what was going on. And boy, when the service was over, they were out the door. Sometimes they went out the door when they bowed their heads for the last prayer. They were gone. Why? Resist the work of God. Sometimes it's not only resist it, but we resent it. We just resent what God's trying to do. My goodness, what a thing to resent what God's trying to do for you. You just, no, I don't want no part of that. To resent what he's trying to do for you. Maybe it's not resist, maybe it's not resent. You go further and you just refuse it. You refuse God's work. Said, I'm not going to let you do that. I refuse to allow you to do that in my life. Not going to happen. Hey, the potter's house, it is the potter's house. That's where God, the potter does his work. Does great work here. That's why a lot of people won't want to come. Don't want God to work on me. Hey, wait a minute. Not only is it the potter's house we see, but it's the potter's work. Well, it's the potter's work. Notice in verse 3, the last part of that verse, it said, behold, he wrought a work. He wrought a work. The potter. It's his work that he sets out to accomplish. God is the great potter, does a work of creation. He does a work of fashioning, molding, and making the clay that is you to form a vessel that's fit and that's useful. That's his work. That's his work. A songwriter years ago wrote a song, he's still working on me. A lot of times we see and we think, well, kids sing it and ain't that cute. Hey, well, I'll tell you, I ain't no kid, but he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him but a week to make the moon and stars, all right, and Jupiter and Mars. But hey, he's still working on me. He's still working on me. That's his work, all right? His work is to make things new. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Now, the Bible tells one of these days he's going to make all things new. And that's his work. He's able. He's able. He's ready. He's willing to take a vessel that's been marred and to refashion it, to remold it, to make it useful again. Make it useful again. Some people won't come to church because, preacher, listen, I'm ashamed of myself and ashamed of my life. And I'm ashamed of what's happened. Wait a minute. There's a great potter who desires to do a work in you. He wants to work on you. He wants to refashion, remake, all right? He can remake that which is messed up. He's able to do that. Man, there's been some things I've had in my life. I've got this thing at my house right now. It's orange, okay? It is orange in color. And what it is a model, a sponge model of the brain, all right? And it's about the size of my fist, just about the size of my fist. I got it years ago at the youth conference up in Indiana. And they gave it to me, and I was there, and I spoke, and I brought it back, and I've hung on to it. My grandkids love to mess with it. But what they want to do, they want to get it, and they start picking at it. You know, if you got a sponge, you can pick at it and pull it apart. And I have to tell them, don't do that. Don't do that. Hey, the Lord, he's a specialist at remaking and remolding, but I'm not. Hey, when it gets destroyed, when it gets ruined, I can't remake it. But he can. He can. He can take that life of yours that you've taken out and ruined it. He can make it anew. He can make it. That's his work. That's the potter's work. I believed myself that God, the great potter, wants to work and do a work in you today. A work in you. He wants to take your life, do something that you said, oh, it could never be. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. He wants to do a work that only God can do. And if you'd allow him to do that, hey, it's the potter's house. It's the potter's work. It's the potter's work to remake, to remold, to fashion, to create, to fix, if you will, when nobody else can. It's his work. But I want you to notice something else there in that verse 3. He said he wrought a work, notice, on the wheel. It's the potter's wheel. It's the potter's wheel. The potter owns the wheel. Okay? Now, I don't know how many are familiar with the work of a potter. And honestly, it's most of what I'm thinking of right now. I see those pictures Brother Henderson put up and when he preached. But the potter's wheel is about yay big, maybe. And he'd put the clay on that. And that thing, as he turned it, and he'd begin to fashion and work with that clay, all right? Hey, it's the potter's wheel. It's there where he places that old lump of clay. It's that wheel he does, that lump that doesn't look like much. I mean, it's not appealing, nothing about it excites you, but it's on that wheel, and it's, remember, it's his wheel. It's his wheel. If he puts you on his wheel, it's because he wants to do work on you. He wants to do work on you. And he begins to turn it. He turns that wheel at his wheel to work and to fashion that lump, all right? Sometimes it turns faster, sometimes maybe a little slower. It doesn't have to be a constant rate, all right? It's always just right for the clay that's being worked. That's what God's doing as he puts you on that wheel. It's his wheel. If he puts you on that wheel, it's for a reason. It's for a reason. He's got a job he wants to do. There's some shaping. There's some fashioning that needs to be done. Now, you might think, no, I'm perfect just the way I am. But he says, no, no, I can make you better. I can make you better. I can do something with you you don't know about. You say, well, I'm content the way I am. Nope, I can make you better. I can make you better. I'm going to put you on that wheel. And he puts us on that wheel. And he begins to work and fashion. Maybe there's some imperfection that's shown up. Hey, maybe only he can see it. The trained eye of the potter can see that imperfection. You and I wouldn't see it, but he sees it. And he begins to take and he begins to work on it. And there's a work that only he can deal with. And that imperfection, he's the only one can deal with it. And he's doing the work for you. If he puts you on that wheel, let him do his work. It's the potter's wheel where he places you. And I want to tell you this, it's the potter's hand that does the work. All right? Notice, it's his hand that does the work. Those hands of the potter know exactly where the pressure needs to be applied. Exactly where. Years ago, we moved to Fort Myers, Florida. I was 8 years old when we moved. We moved to paradise for an 8-year-old boy. You said Florida? Not just Florida. We moved out of town. You could not see another house from where we lived. We were right on the banks of the Caloosahatchee River. I mean, it was fun time. And there was no house within sight, nothing. I mean, it was greatest place I ever lived. Great, it was heaven for a boy, all right? And we only lived there a year and a half, and I've been living somewhere else ever since. But we moved there, and on the banks of that river, I found deposits of clay. And you'd find this clay, and of course, me being the 8-year-old kid I was, and with an 8-year-old thought, I shall make some pottery. And so I dug that clay out of the riverbank, and I began to fashion it. And I fashioned it again. And I worked on it some more. And I worked on it some more. Now, I didn't have a wheel, but hey, it's clay. How hard can it be, right? Come on! And I finally got it the best I could, and I let it out in the sun to dry. I said, how'd it look? Looked like a piece of junk. These are not the hands of a potter. But you hear me, in the hands of the potter, what a work he can do. What a work he can do. He knows if I need a little more pressure. He knows if I need to pull that clay up a little. He knows how to do it. If you've ever seen and ever watched it, it's amazing. It's amazing to see what that, but I'll tell you, that's what God does with us. Is his hand gets in our life. All right, he knows when to apply a little more strength. He knows when to back off. Hey, I want to say this. It's not the quality of the clay that matters. It's the capability of that hand. The capability of the hand. It is not in you. It is not in me. It's in the ability of that hand that's in our life that takes and molds and fashions. Hey, it's the hand that never fails. Never fails. It's the hand that's always within reach. Always within reach. Old Peter was walking on the water, and he got to looking at the water. He was afraid and began to sing, Lord, save me! Boy, the hand of God right there to pull him out. Right? He was in reach. I'll tell you, the hand of the potter, the great potter, the hand of God is always within reach. He's able to reach out. He's able to get you. You say, I'm sinking. He'll pull you out. He can save you. He can pull you out. Listen, he can fashion you. He can fix you. And when you feel his hand in your life, don't fight it. Don't resist that hand. Let him do his work. Let him do his work. Now sometimes be a little painful. Sometimes got to be a little pressure we don't like. But let him do his work. It's the hand of the potter. It's his hand. And lastly, you think with me, it's his, the potter's will. It's his will. Notice what the Bible said there, would you? Down in verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. It seemed good to the potter. Preacher, you don't understand. I don't like this about me. I don't like my looks. I don't like the ears that I have. Why didn't he fashion better ears for me? Why did they have to be so big? Why did my nose have to be so big? Why did he have to put a wart on my chin? Why did he do that? Listen, you hear me, okay? He made it as seemed good to the potter. It's his will. It's his will. The clay didn't get a vote. The clay didn't get a vote. I'm going to be honest with you. As a preacher, there's some people I think, if I just had a voice like that. Man, if my voice was just like that. But it's not. Not. My voice, I've said it to you before. I can remember the first time I went back and listened to a cassette tape of my preaching. I thought, who's that hillbilly? Do I really sound like that? I'm going to tell you, this is a voice God gave me. This is a voice God gave me. If I had a vote, I might vote different, but he said, it's according to my will, not yours. My will. My will. Hey, he made it according to the will of the potter at his good pleasure. The vessels are created. At his good pleasure, the vessels are fashioned. All right? It's according to his will. Hey, at his pleasure, they are used. They're used. I'm gonna give you an illustration a little bit out of my life. Not because I want you to see God. You say, well, God always does this or that. God's not done things the way I wanted him to do. Man, for 19 years, I worked with teenagers. For 19 years, I worked with teenagers here in the church, all right? And I've worked with them ever since then in some capacity. But for 19 years, that was my heartbeat. And man, I longed. I thought, boy, God, if you just let me go preaching youth camps and youth conferences and all that. And boy, you know how many doors he opened for that? Boom, none. I get to be 60 years old. Guy calls me up, hey, you come preach a youth conference? God, why didn't you let me do it? Because it's according to his pleasure. Not mine. His pleasure. His pleasure. I was in South Carolina in September preaching a revival to a bunch of teenagers, 67 years old. Called to preach a youth camp up in Pennsylvania. The theme was a medical theme. The medical theme, all right. They had this huge cast over here on the platform of a foot, okay, a huge plaster of Paris cast, big old thing. They had hospital beds, gurneys. They had IV bags and tubes and had all that kind of stuff. They had fountain, you know, ink pens made to look like syringes, all of that. I got up to speak, and he had me come up to speak and sit down in a recliner. And he introduced me, and I got up, and there was a walker there. I called a teenager up, and I said, hold my Bible, will you? And I took that walker, and I went. To get to the pulpit, to preach. Hey. That was at his pleasure, not mine. He didn't ask the clay. He didn't give me a vote, all right? The pot had no say. The pot had no say. It's his good pleasure. It's the potter's will. We spend so much time today and energy trying to please ourself, wanting it our way. And we give so little concern to or thought to the one who created us, and we don't come to him and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? We don't come to him. It's, Lord, when I get old and nothing's left, then I'll ask you. But right now, when it's me and I'm full of vim and vigor, I'll do what I want to do, and I'll do it the way I want to do it. Oh, wait a minute. Nope, 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 nope. Lord, what's your pleasure? What's your pleasure? You're the potter. You made me. You fashioned me. I have my desires, but Lord, what's your pleasure? What do you want? Oh, you need to be concerned today with what the potter's will is for you. For you. So, preacher, it's too late for me. It's never too late. You're still breathing. You're still breathing. God has a will for you. What's his will? What's the potter's will for you? He said, preacher, I'm young and unlearned. I can't do it. Hey, now's the time. Now's the time to say, Lord, what's your will for me? What do you want me to do? What can I do to please you? I like the way Brother Gipp said it when he was here. He said, "What can I do to put a smile on your face?" Just put a smile on the face of God. Can I say it today to you again? It's all about the potter. Not the clay. Not the pot. It's all about the potter. What does he want to do with you? What does he want to do for you today? What's his will? Question is, will you let him? Or is this going to be a battle of the wills, yours against his? And a lot of people spend their life that way. Can I remind you, the potter sees the finished product before it's finished. He knows what it is. He knows what it is. He knows what it's going to look like. He knows every curve, every indentation, every aspect. He knows. I want to say this, he knows best. And he'll do the best for you. You'll give yourself to him. And if you'd live your life as if it's all about the potter, not about the clay. It's you, Lord. It's you. Not what I want. You say, but I've got these plans. Did it ever occur to you God does not always call people to do stuff they don't want to do? You know, when we talk about surrender to the will of God, people think, if I do that, he's going to call me to be a missionary down in the deepest, darkest jungle there is, where there's bugs and spiders and snakes and all of that kind of stuff. I can talk to you about a missionary I know lives in a brick house, got a big swimming pool in the backyard. In the will of God. You say, let me know who he is. Are we supporting that rascal? No, we're not, by the way, okay? Listen, we get the idea if I surrender to him, he's going to make me into something I don't want to be. Oh, no, he won't. No, he won't. You'll find yourself the happiest you could possibly be. You could find satisfaction, fulfillment. You'll find what everybody in this world is looking for. But they're looking for it as they fight the potter's hand in their life. He touch you. It's all about the potter. It's all about him. Would you come, be willing to put yourself on his wheel? Let him take his hand. As he fashions you and makes you and molds you, let him do his work in your life. He'll do that. You'll be absolutely amazed at what God will do. You said, too late. Not too late. Not too late. Question is it going to be you? All about you? Or is it all about the potter? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I said at the beginning of the service today, we need to hear from you. Lord, I pray folks have been listening. I pray, Lord, that they've had their mind, their heart open to the touch from the Spirit of God. And Lord, as we come now to the invitation time, I pray folks would be willing to place themselves on the potter's wheel. They'd be willing to come and say, Lord, it's yours. It's all about you. I'm here and I'm surrendering to you. I trust you and I know you'll do what's best. Would you help us, Lord? Would you do that work in us? Would you help us to yield ourselves to you and allow you to move and make a difference in our life today? First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We can sing an invitation this morning. Hey, it's all about the potter. What's God want to do for you today? What does he want to do for you? What does he want to do in your life? Would you come to him and let him do his work? Would you offer yourself and say, here I am? Song we're going to sing, page 17, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. That's what he wants. Would you come? If you need to talk to me, I'll be right here at the front. You come on while we sing. Come on. Come on.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Search me.